Welcome to the Opawa Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to find out more about our church, visit us on any Sunday or online at opawa.org.nz.
It's really a privilege to be back here and be in my home ground, in one of my favorite churches in all the world, and preach here to you. I love the people of this church. I don't know if you know how hospitable you are. I honestly had a phone call yesterday from Robin saying, do you need anything? You know, that was lovely. And Emma's been on the phone, and it's been amazing to have the kind of hospitality that you as a church display is humbling and it's wonderful. And I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for your heart of hospitality. You're an amazing church with amazing people. You care about others and you're very, very hospitable. So Lord, this morning as we dig into the word and Lord, just may I only speak that you would have me speak. Nothing more and nothing less. I thank you for every single person here. I plead your precious blood over them this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I've asked Jan-Marie to read the scripture for you this morning. So if you would turn to Joshua 6, verse 1 to 21.
Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up everywhere straight before him. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass before the Ark of the Lord. Just as Joshua had commanded the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets, with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord following them. The armed men were walking before the priests, who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the ark, while the trumpets blew continually. But Joshua commanded the people, you shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout. So he caused the ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about at once, and they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord walked on, and they blew the trumpets continually, and the armed men were walking before them, and the rear guard was walking after the ark of the Lord. While the trumpets blew continually, and on the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned into the camp. And so they did for 6 days. On the 7th day they rose early at the dawn of day and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city 7 times, and at the 7th time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout! For the Lord has given you the city, and the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. But all silver and gold, and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. Then they devoted all in the city to destruction, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkeys, with the edge of the sword.
Now, as you all know, this story has been preached so many times. I mean, the story of Joshua is a story that I love. It's a story that we sang the songs in Sunday school, and we all know those songs, and we all know the story. And there's so many different versions of the story. But I was so encouraged this morning by the prayers, by what you said, Christopher, and the lady who prayed. And you confirmed what the Lord had put in my heart. Because throughout the world, there's a cry that's going out for the people of God to get whole, for the people of God to get healed, for the people of God to be so whole that they can be the warriors that they're called to be. And as I look across this church, I see a church that's full of warriors, seasoned warriors, people who know how to pray. This church knows how to pray. I sense that. But God is saying that it's time that if there's any little bits and pieces left behind, we need to get rid of it. It's time for us to get rid of the things that so easily entangle and ensnare us. And when I was thinking about what I was going to say here, he brought me to the story, and I thought, well, I'm going to preach about Joshua because he's a great leader, and I'm going to preach about this, and it was none of that. So the whole thing that I felt that the Lord wanted me to speak about was about the walls of Jericho. And if you give me a little bit of grace this morning, I'm not going to preach a theologically perhaps overstated message this morning, but I'm going to preach to your heart, if that's okay. Is that all right with you? Do I have your permission to do that? Thank you very much. You're very gracious to me. But I've always been fascinated by this as well, because when I thought about Jericho and I thought about the walls, I thought how obedient those soldiers were. I mean, what would you do if Rod stood up and he said, listen here, I'm telling you that for the next month you're not going to talk. Okay, let's try. For the next 6 days you're not going to say a word. You're probably going to suggest that he go to the GP. Suggest that he's been working too hard, he's a little bit burnt out, and he probably needs to do something to help him. But these soldiers, we know that the Israelites weren't particularly obedient, were they? They weren't very obedient. But here they come, and Joshua says, you're not going to say a word. Not for 6 days. And they did that. How wise God is. He knows what we like with our mouth. I laughed because somebody said to me the other day, so Charmaine, it's really easy for you because you preach. I said, oh, you should see me when I'm down, when I kick off the shoes, you know. We're all just human. And God knows that we can say things with our mouths, things that are negative, things that aren't always positive to each other. Things that don't always encourage each other. So he was wise when he said to them, why don't you just keep quiet? Just keep quiet for 6 days. And they did that. So I'm very fascinated by their obedience. Then the other thing is, you probably all know that I'm a counselor. It's my day job, kind of funds my passion and my real job, which is preaching. So as a counselor, I find that I hear a lot of things about walls, or that represent walls to me. And the sad thing for me is that it's from a lot of Christian people as well. So that made me think. So I'm going to speak about a few types and shadows today. I want to speak to you about where you've created walls. Walls where every brick has been carefully laid. The thickness you have determined of the wall. Not God, not the devil, you. Determined how thick that wall's going to be around your heart. Walls of oppression, walls of fear, walls of abuse, walls of rejection, walls of sadness, walls of loneliness, walls of bitterness, resentment, rejection, financial inadequacy, secret sin. offences, shame-based nature, etc. And you see, when we have one wall, we inevitably build another wall. Because we build another wall to protect that first wall. Because we don't want to get hurt, so we put all these soldiers at the bottom of that wall. And then when we have that wall, guess what we do? We build another wall, because we really don't want to get hurt. And this time, we have a lot of centurions around this wall. So Israel has finally crossed the Jordan. They have prepared themselves spiritually for this journey, and they have so far followed God's orders to a T. They're ready to begin their journey and their conquest into their promised land. They're ready to claim for themselves the land that has been promised to them, the land that flowed with milk and honey. However, as it is with most things in life that you really want, it doesn't come cheaply. Who knows that? Oh, I'm so glad that you're all with me on the same page today. It doesn't come cheaply. For example, those people, those missionaries you're praying for, man, that doesn't come cheaply. That comes with a great price, doesn't it? Even the ones in Fiji. I mean, my little grandson's always saying to his mum, because he sees these ads saying, oh, Fiji me, and it looks so beautiful with palm trees. And no, there's such a big work to be done there. Comes with a huge price. So if you're in the ministry, I can promise you there's an even bigger price to pay. And if you're on the road preaching, I was telling somebody the other day, they said, because remember some of you prayed for me when I went to England last year to preach, at the end of last year, thank you very much for praying for me. It was wonderful. But they said to me, oh, you know something? Preachers in England must make a lot of money because it's pounds. And I was trying to explain to them that you don't. The English don't really. Sometimes you, if you're lucky, you'll get a cup of tea and a sticky bun. And then you've still got to get to the next place. And then sometimes if you get billeted, you may get billeted on a mattress that might have urine on it. I know it sounds terrible, but it's the truth. Or you might get billeted to a home because you know what the British homes are like and you're really grateful. So while you're preparing to preach in the lounge, everybody's sitting around having tea. You know, so it's difficult, but it's worth it. Let me tell you, it's worth it to serve the Lord God Almighty. It's worth it. Amen. And those, the gentleman that spoke about the missionaries, how right you are. To have people praying for you on the ground is one of the most important things that you can have. Amen. So I love Ephesians 6:12 that says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Since our warfare is spiritual, our weapons and strategies have to be spiritual as well. When I came home from Australia, I was fine for a day or two, and then I was laid down, low. And it was like I felt the enemy say, well, you're not going to be able to preach. Now, if you're on the road, you preach. No matter what your condition is, you preach. And I said, there's no way. The last time that I was supposed to preach here, I was ill. I couldn't speak. I'm preaching. And God gives you victory when you can say, I'm preaching. Amen? Amen. All glory to God. We're preaching today. We're going to do some good preaching. How big do you think the walls of Jericho were? They were huge. Now, this is only approximate for those of you that are historians. Forgive me if I don't get it absolutely correct. But to the best of my knowledge, they were about 6 foot thick, the outer wall, and 20 foot high. The inner wall was 12 foot thick and 30 feet high. And between the walls, there was a 15 foot wide guarded walkway. That's huge. Come on. Know what God can do. That is huge. Amen. So what I thought about when I thought about Jericho was, how thick is the wall around your heart today? Ooh, it's getting quiet in here. How thick is the wall around your heart today? I sense when I prayed for you that if you would allow God today in stillness or even with a shout to work in your heart today, it's going to take some stuff away. Because as you know, we're in the end days. How long do we have in the end days? It could be a minute, a day, a year, 10 years, 100 years, a million years. We don't know. God's time is not our time. Not even Jesus knows. But we know prophetically, as we look at all the signs, you know, and the seasons, that we know that the coming of the Lord is soon, as that wonderful lady prayed. So for us to be everything we have to be in these days, we need to get really brutally honest with ourselves. And I want to encourage you today, there's no shame in being honest with yourself. There's no shame in just saying, hey, you know, today I'm going to take away some stuff from my heart and I'm going to take a risk for Jesus. It's not easy. But with his help, we can. Because I smelt a fragrance of victory over this church today. If you would allow it. I smelt a fragrance of victory. I love the part of the scripture that says, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. And I thought about it. Into whose hand has he given the victory? Into your hand. Into your hand. If you choose Christ, he will never, ever disappoint you. Never will he put you to shame. Never will he not satisfy your inner longings and inner needs. Sometimes you just need a crazy country preacher like me from Christchurch to come and say to you, hey, it's time to unwrap some stuff. So that you can say, hey, like you did at the rugby last night, let's have some victory. Did any of you watch the rugby? And did you say, hey, look at what he's doing. And if we can do that for the rugby, why can't we do that for ourselves with Christ? But sometimes it's okay to do it in the stillness of the worship, in the stillness of his presence, in the quiet of your prayer. You see, Jericho was won with a shout of praise. But the call of Jericho is a call to aggressive worship. It's a call to aggressive worship. It's not just saying that we'll sing in the sweet by and by, and I love the song, don't get me wrong, but it's not just that. It's a call to when you're at home, like you have such a beautiful voice, and the lady with a flute, but it's aggressive worship. When you're in your own inner closet, it's getting there with Jesus. That's what the call of Jericho is. It's aggressive spiritual warfare. This kind of warfare only begins with worship, and guess what? It ends with worship. It ends with worship. What is your praise life like, church? What are you like at home? Do you ever worship and praise at home in your quiet time, or is it only for this half an hour at church on a Sunday morning? I bet you, Stuart, you could sing out a song at home. You must burst into song.
My kids could testify to that.
Amen. When I saw you today, I thought, oh, he could really do that. The aggressive worship. Back to the walls. I was thinking, the mighty men of Joshua's mighty men. Can you imagine the night before? They've been quiet for 6 days, and every night they had to go to sleep. Can you imagine lying there in silence? And I don't know, they probably didn't have the kind of sleeping bags we have, so they were covered with something. And here they are, looking up at this fortress. I wonder what crossed their mind. They must have had some doubts. You know, we'll go with Joshua because he seems to hear from God. But honestly, look at these walls. They're so high. And the shadow of those walls must have fallen on them, you know, as the night came by. And I thought about walls, and we have different walls. I loved England because England had so many different walls. You know, they have these tiny little walls which are supposed to keep sheep in. And it does. And I don't know how sheep stay in. You know, here they just jump over. Our sheep are probably a bit more independent. Seriously. And then you get those beautiful old stone buildings. It's like hewn stone. It's just so, so beautiful, isn't it? But you see, walls become a stronghold. Now, let's get into it. A strategic stronghold that needs to be defeated in order to possess your own land. Does that make sense? Shall I say it again? A strategic stronghold that needs to be defeated in order to possess your land. What are the strongholds in your life that prevent you from walking in all that Christ has obtained for you? Don't you sometimes wonder, what is it that's holding me back? I know I should be preaching, not Charmaine. Why aren't I doing it? What's holding me back? Or maybe I know that my hospitality in that kitchen's so good. I want to really honor the youth of this church. They're really wonderful. And there's a young girl here that apparently cooks up a storm in the kitchen. But maybe others know how to cook and prepare, and that's what they really want to do, but they're embarrassed in case, you know, maybe I'll make an idiot of myself. Maybe others want to serve. Maybe others want to go to Fiji. But how would I do it? I don't feel equipped. So I did a bit of a quick study on it. And a stronghold is a noun, and it means a fortified place. A place of security, which is from the ancient Gaelic language. A place dominated by a particular group or marked by a particular characteristic. So if you look at the walls, most of the walls we face are of our own building. As I said, we've built those walls. We've named every brick on those walls. It's us, nobody else. We've decided that we don't want to be hurt again. We don't want anybody giving us any more pain. And we're sick and tired of the world thinking it can come and put bruises on our hearts. So, what were these walls designed to do? Number one, they were designed for separation. And you can read scriptures in your own time about it, Ezekiel 43:8, Ephesians 2:14. I wonder if there's any way that you have separated yourself, perhaps from friends, your wife, your husband, without them even knowing, that you've just kind of taken a step or two back, because it's probably just safer that way. Because maybe their mouths aren't as saved as they should be. Maybe their actions aren't as saved as they should be. Don't you know people, they say they're saved, they've got saved, but somehow their mouth didn't get saved at the same time they got saved? Sorry, but it's true. Walls are designed for defense. How defensive are you? How do you react to situations when you are under pressure? I always laugh because we always say, if you jump on the toothpaste tube, you'll see what comes out. Let's hope it's toothpaste. You know, because it's when we're under pressure, what comes out of us? What do we say? Are our mouths very sanctified when we're under pressure? Walls are frequently made of stone and of wood. How special do you feel? Do you feel more precious than rubies? Or maybe you just feel like a piece of old rough wood, unhewn stone, full of rough edges, because nobody's ever shown you how special you are. Nobody's ever treated you like the diamond you are, whether you're a man or a female. You've never been treated like that rare goblet, that crystal goblet. Some walls were probably strengthened with plates of iron and brass. Well, now plates of iron and brass around our heart? Perhaps. Because we fortified those walls, haven't we? We fortified them. And the walls are often very high, like the walls of Jericho, because we don't want anybody to be able to scale those walls. Some walls even had towers on them. Not only are the walls high, but we have to make sure that their walls are protected. So you build towers on top of the walls to make sure that seriously nobody's ever going to come in. And the towers will see anybody coming along, so, oh my gosh. Houses were often built on the walls. Can you believe that? Imagine a house on the wall. So I thought about that, and I thought, well, that's because we can become so comfortable in them that we have even built comfortable dwelling places for things, lovely habits that we have, that we're very comfortable with, like a critical tongue. Now, nobody in this church would be like that, I know that. But some people are like that. Critical nature, judgmental attitudes. Walls were strongly manned and wore. When you've had an argument with your husband or your wife or disagreement with your friend, or your friends, do you strengthen the walls a bit? I'm never going to let them do that to me again. And we kind of put up another layer, don't we? And then eventually we feel nothing. Often walls were kept by watchmen day and night. You guard yourself so well that I wonder when last you actually exposed your heart to someone, really exposed your heart, really sat down and spoke about your heart. Houses sometimes broken down to repair, had to fortify. Walls were besieged and battered by armies. And I wondered about the walls of your heart. How battered has your heart been? How bruised has your heart become? Then you've erected another wall and another wall and another wall. How burnt have you been? Because sometimes those walls were burnt. And I love God that he says in the word that even the burnt stones. Walls were frequently laid and ruined. They were usually plastered. But the thing with the old-fashioned walls were when they were plastered, they had nails or pegs fastened inside of them when they were built. And I wondered if your heart had been nailed and pegged somehow. Did you know that walls were, liable to leprosy? Because if you look in the Word of God, it speaks about the mold on the walls and the mold on the stones. So isn't that like a spiritual leprosy almost? That when we build those walls too thick, that we have a kind of a spiritual leprosy that can take part, take hold of our heart. And then the last point of this is that the walls were often infested with serpents. Serpents are synonymous with sliminess, with poison, and with stench. Do you have a spiritual stink? Or maybe slink around? Or maybe just a little drop of poison here or there? Have you ever been to prayer meetings? And of course you don't have them. Please note, I'm not saying that you have these. But I've been to churches, and I have to pray with the churches before I get to preach. Maybe I'm there the day before and it's their prayer meeting. Dear Lord, and I'm not mocking, but this is serious. Please can you bless Sister Susie, who's having an affair with Brother John? And I'm like, oh God, I don't want to be here. This is gossip. It's not prayer. Seriously. And I'm like, oh, everything inside me says, how do we stop this? How do we stop this, Lord? Just a little bit of poison. Because maybe nobody in the prayer meeting knew until you decided to pray for them. We've got to be careful of our tongue. Just dropping a bit of poison here and a bit of poison there. Let me just poison. Let's just pray for Chris. He seemed a bit off this morning. He was like, those slides. Just, I don't know. What did you think? Do you think he had an argument with his wife last night? We'll just pray for him. Oh, look, we just pray for his wife. No. We just pray for that wife of his that gave him such a hard time. Seriously? But that's not true, you know that. But honestly, I've been into churches where this happens, and it's grieved my heart. And I'll tell you something, and I'll just tell you a quick story. And the one church I went into, and I was preaching, and I tried to prepare and tried to prepare and tried to prepare. And I got up to preach. This is in Australia, not this last church I preached at, just in case. And while I was preaching, I felt the Lord say, stop. I've lifted my presence off this house. I said, no, man, I can't do that. Sorry. How do I just stop? Just stop. I've lifted my presence. That church was so rotten. And the Lord said that he was going to close that church. And I brought the service to a close. And George is my witness to that. And I think it was a month later that the whole church dissolved. Because there was adultery in the praise and worship team. There was a whole lot of stuff that the Lord showed me that was going on. And it was a difficult thing to do. But it's the body of Christ that has to get rid of spiritual leprosy. Remember what happened to Miriam when she murmured against her brother. We're very careless. And God is wanting us to strengthen ourselves in these days. He's wanting us to change, to get whole, to stand up. This church is a lamp. This church is a lighthouse in this area. And God is calling you to stand up, to be whole, to be the warriors that He has called you to be. Because you guys are amazing. Amen? So, how do we break these walls down? That's a good question, hey. How do we break them down? Because it's all very good. Some people come in and they say, oh, you know what, you've got to do this and that. But okay, fair enough, but how do I do it? Tell me how I do it. So number one, you've got to hear the word of the Lord. What is God saying to you? What He's saying to you might be different to what He's saying to you. You see, what I liked is in Joshua 6:2, I think it was, when God said to Joshua, see, I have given you... was it the king? I've given Jericho into your hand. It's king and the mighty men of Ela. So how amazing is that? God spoke to Joshua. Joshua knew. He had heard the Lord. Number two, I want you to look at the things that hold your heart back with the eyes of faith. And you see, faith always sees victory. If you have faith, you will see victory. Doubt sees obstacles. Faith brings a good report. Doubt brings a bad report. Faith produces positive attitude and peace. Doubt leads to discontentment, fear, which produces a what? A rebellious attitude. Faith sees with the eyes of God. Doubt sees with the eyes of man. Please, don't let doubters destroy what God wants to do in your life today. Amen? You need to quiet the flesh. Don't get into dialogue with the enemy. I love Exodus 14:14. It says, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Amen? Focus on the Lord. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. What's He? The author and finisher of our faith. Thank you, Jesus. And then walk in obedience. When you've prayed and you said, Lord, you know, Charmaine spoke about those walls. I really want to get them down out of my life today. I don't like having them. Maybe it's just one dot. You know, maybe it's not even a big wall. But maybe it's one tiny little thing that's held you back from being everything that you could be. Today I want to tear them down, Lord. Don't let the enemy stop you from doing that. We're going to have a little time of reflection soon. And you'll have time to say to the Lord, remove it, please. But then trust Him that it is removed. Amen? Trust Him. And then, of course, my best part as we go into reflection is anticipate the victory. Anticipate the victory. You know, I don't know if you have many prophets that come into your church, but when we prophesy, one of the things that when we prophesy is we speak to potential. A prophet will always speak to your potential in God, if it's a true prophet. Will speak to your potential. So don't allow anything to stop you from seeing your potential today. When I was in England, I was very privileged to minister to a lady who's played violin for the Queen and for Princess Anne. And your beautiful flutist reminded me of her. But this lady still had such a low self-esteem. The enemy kept her pushed down. When I left, I was very privileged that she was playing in the cathedral in Bath. And she would play wherever God wanted her. And I've got a beautiful CD that she has now made. And God is just so good. If we can just see ourselves through His eyes for a while, then we shall know. Let us just reflect. There's a song I'd like you to listen to. And then just reflect, and then I'm going to close the meeting. Is that all right with you? Just a few more moments. Thank you. I found Pray for revival. Spirit, break our walls down right now. With every eye closed, I want to do this the old-fashioned way, if I may. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. What I'm going to ask you today, if there's anybody here that says, Charmaine, yes, me, pray for me. I've got a little dot on my wall. I've got a little wall. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to pray for you right now, Lord, for every person that's battling, every person that's battling, every person that says, Charmaine, pray for me. Lord, I pray that you speak directly into their heart. I pray that you touch them directly, that you tell them what they need to do, Lord, to break down those walls, Lord. I thank you that you would heal them, that you would restore them, and that your love would cover them in such a real and such a mighty way, Lord, that their life is never, ever going to be the same again, that they're going to be able to step out in freedom, in victory, that they're going to step out and they're going to be everything, the wonderful Christian warriors that you have called them to be. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen. I thank you so much for having me today, and I'll hand you back to Chris. God bless you.